Good afternoon. I'm John Wiley, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Today we welcome Tenzin Gyatso, His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama, back to the Madison campus to share his wisdom and understanding with us. As your program indicates, he will be speaking about compassion, the source of happiness. As the head of state and spiritual leader of the Tibetan people, the Dalai Lama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1989. The Nobel Committee noted that in his struggle for the liberation of Tibet, he consistently opposed the use of violence. He advocated instead for peaceful solutions based on tolerance and mutual respect to preserve the historical and cultural heritage of his people. He has worked tirelessly to preserve Tibetan culture, not only within the international Tibetan community, but within broader communities as well. You may not know that he also became the first Nobel laureate to be recognized for his concern for global environmental problems. His Holiness has traveled to more than 62 countries spanning six continents. He has met with presidents, prime ministers, and crowned rulers of major nations. He has held dialogues with heads of many religions and many well-known scientists. Since 1959, he has received more than 84 awards, honorary doctorates, including one from here, and prizes in recognition of his message of peace, nonviolence, interreligious understanding, universal responsibility, and compassion. He still humbly refers to himself as a simple Buddhist monk. This is his fifth visit to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The first took place in 1981 at the invitation of his longtime student, Geshe Sopa. And Professor Sopa is with us today. I'm not sure exactly where he's sitting, but we acknowledge his presence in near the front. Professor Sopa served the university more than 30 years and is now an emeritus professor of the languages and cultures of Asia. In October 1989, His Holiness spoke to faculty, staff, and students at the Field House, and in May of 1998, he received an honorary degree from the university. On that visit, he also delivered a public address to an audience about the size of this one from this same stage. His most recent visit was in May 2001, when he returned to campus to meet with a group of top Western neuroscientists engaged in research on the effects of practices such as meditation on brain function, emotions, and physical health. UW-Madison's Health Emotions Research Institute co-sponsored that conference, which was organized by Dr. Richard Davidson, director of the Keck Laboratory for Functional Brain Imaging and Behavior here on campus. And Professor Davidson and his wife also are in the audience. I'd like to acknowledge them if I can spot them. We're very pleased and grateful that His Holiness has taken such a strong interest in this important research and in the university's Buddhist Studies program as well. Translating for the Dalai Lama today is Dr. Thupan Jinpa, President of the Institute of Tibetan Classics in Montreal, and editor-in-chief of the Institute's translation project, the Library of Tibetan Classics. He has been a principal English translator to His Holiness since 1985 and has translated and edited more than 10 of his books. Please join me in welcoming back His Holiness to our university once again, and please also welcome Dr. Jinpa.
Tanda Nyanra Jengi and the Zula Lab the Chambudi Zunzi Consent Chatang and the Kawa number 다 루루 단데 연도 가버리 엔티 민기 체조 보물 현재 상원 원래 쉬야리야 엔다 들을 때 독선 자야 국어 중부 하상 가고 중 엔티 내게 다 국어 조진하면서 상원 원래 투시 쇼잉
Dr. John Wiley, a chancellor of this reputed University of Wisconsin, eminent members of the faculty, students, and brothers and sisters. It's a very joyful opportunity for me to be able to share this afternoon with you. So at the beginning, I would like to express my deep appreciation for all those who have been involved in organizing this event.
'I think the reasons to some kind of joyfulness. I think a few more reasons here. Firstly, I think through Kishi Sabala, there's some relations develop. I think since early 60s, and this scholar is actually when I got the final examination in front of 1,000 scholars or students, the debater, one of the debater. So of course, his kindness, I think his motivation debating with me, not that way.
Out of his kindness, his motivation in debating with me was not to give me a hard time.
So very kind. I think actually the meaning of real examination means the more harder debate is necessary. But I am rather lazy student. So my knowledge, some kind of shallow way, the knowledge.
So my knowledge remained quite superficial on the surface.
So therefore, his attitude is very, very kind. In my case, I think necessary. Then, also, Kishi Sabala, the first Kala Chakra initiation in this country at his place. I think 81. Then, recent years, and my involvement about dialogue between Buddhist science and modern science, one professor, one scholar, David Khazar.
Richard Davidson. Yeah.
Richard Davidson. Say one of the main person. So through that way also, you see, we developed some special connection with this university. So here, Richard also here. So very, very helpful to not only just my personal sort of understanding, but also now in India, the Buddhist student, a philosophical student, now we last now at least I think 5-6 years, now we already introduce modern science to selected student, about 40-50 students. Now we are decide the more serious study regularly to more students as a permanent sort of study. In the Sorrow. Was it the whole year study? Then eventually, hopefully, introduce in our traditional curriculum modern science. So in that respect, collaboration with great scientists from America as well as from Europe, and particularly Richard, very, very helpful. So, because of these reasons, see, emotionally or otherwise, you see, we have some special sort of connection. So I'm very happy once more here. And on top of that, large number of people, you see, came to see me or to listen my lecture. So when many people come, then sometimes I feel rather a little anxious, because you know the people who are coming here with motivation just out of curiosity, then no problem. Your side also, you see, out of curiosity. My side also, you see, no systematic sort of plan, just whatever thought comes and I express. It is no problem, not serious. Then, if some, you see, serious student or serious people who really expecting or some, you see, the important subject or some difficult subject, then you may disappoint. I'm not that kind of serious person. Then, worst thing, some people, sometimes, you see, in Europe, and America also sometimes it happen. You see, the people, some kind of, you see, false, unrealistic sort of belief that Dalai Lama have some kind of miracle power. In fact, you see, some patient, or in England, I think once I expressed here or not, I don't know. But some occasions I just expressed that story. One occasion in England,
in the Royal Albert Hall in London, yeah.
Albert is a hall. They won my lecture, big gathering. So I told the similar way, and then I mentioned if someone is who have some the expectation, Dalai Lama have some kind of miracle. So you see, some patient actually, you see, come to seek sort of healing power. Then at that, you see, meeting, I told, I have no such sort of healing power. And in fact, I'm very, very skeptical about that. So if there is sort of person who really have that healing power, then firstly, I want to show, you see, my sort of problem, this neck. So some kind of skin disease. So always you see, itching like that. So although you see, no one came as a healing power, rare. But later I received one small package with some ointment for skin disease. So that is a real blessing. So that is the story. So, so in any way, I really appreciate the large number of people who came. Team.
Compassion, a source of happiness.
Now the important is, there is no disagreement. We all want happy life. And we all do not want suffering. It is our right, basic right. Since by nature, we have the feeling of pleasure, pain, suffering, uncomfortable, joyful. We have these feelings there. And we want these positive things. So that's the basis of our right. Even plants, they have the capacity to exist. So they also have the right to exist. So therefore, I think any form of life have the right to exist. And our case, not only just mere exist, but exist with happy, meaningful. That's our basic right. So, now since we human being, because of this marvelous brain, human brain, the happiness or satisfaction to human being and satisfaction to other animal, now there is differences. Right? I think we human being, you see, there are different levels of happiness or joyfulness. And similarly, pains and suffering, there are also different levels. Here mainly, pleasure and unpleasant sort of experience or feeling, mainly on the level of sensorial level. That is more or less common with other other species of mammals. Then another level, mainly, was a mental level. That we, I think, human being have is a, sort of, because of much more complex because of our intelligence. So this intelligence or this marvelous brain creates, I think, capacity to remember about long time past. And particularly with help of writing script, our memory about past even more, clear and more depth. And also, we have this, I think, unique capacity to
imagine future.
Imagination. So, our children, grandchildren, grandchildren, or next century, so on, like that. So, because of that, anyway, it is good. Very long memory and great sort of power of imagination and vision. That's good. But that also causing more disturbance in our mind. For example, our present generation, happy, no problem, but thinking, previous generation, many centuries ago, what happened? I think one example. One occasion in Frankfurt, in Germany, one meeting, some people from different ethnics, and there, one American native Indian, also there. So usually, I have quite close sort of relation with native Indian.
Native Americans.
I do respect or appreciate their traditional sort of concept, the taking care of the earth. and respect nature. These are very important, very good. And one of the as a representative from Native American gave long speech, and that speech too long, so everybody seems boring. Me too.
A little boring.
Then the real sort of the message in that sort of long speech, boring speech, is actually in the past, European white people who invaded America and killed many Native American. So now, as a civilized sort of world, a civilized sort of century, now all white people should expel from America. That kind of thinking, that kind of view, is to come as a result of the long memory about past memory. So I think that particular is a person. I think when you see he reflects these things, so he very unhappy. The past event, century old event, now that causing his disturbance in his mind. Clear. And also the because of our sort of the ability of imagination. Today, present, everything comfortable, but too much worry about tomorrow, about next week, about next year, next decade, next century. Because of that sort of imagination, your present sort of calmness completely destroyed. Yeah. It's happened like that. So, regarding disturbances in mental level, there is no way to relying purely on external means. Very difficult. Taking drugs, alcohol, temporary method, and sometimes is it the drugs? I think your mind more confusion. So I think in our daily life, quite enough confusion there. So more confusion is unnecessary, not much helpful. So I think the best thing is some of the doctor may have some sort of surgery method to remove some part of our brain so that we become like Kasota, robot. No feeling. Just like that. That also not good. Just like animal feeding and sleep and reproduce. Or like that. Simple. And human life become very simple. That also not good. So I prefer more sophisticated, more colorful life is better. Meantime, through sort of certain way of thinking, certain mental attitude, if we utilize our intelligence through such a way, they reduce disturbances in mental level and sustain more calmness, more satisfaction, in spite of some sort of difficult surroundings. That's wise. Really worthwhile. Now, firstly, I think worthwhile to put big question whether there's possibility or not. Then next, more research, the mental level disturbances through training of mind, reduce that disturbances. Now here actually religious faith, I think, come into the picture. Where? I think 1,000 years, at least 3,000 years, 3 to 4,000 years. So the any human society, when the kasoda physical lubu tapsi chiyagi nubes limitation tiyeni kange chayundu any semishasil faithless.
So if you look at the history of human evolution, we have, as a society, had presence of religion going back to at least 3,000 years. And the reason for that is, as human beings, when we encounter in our life certain situations which are beyond the capacity of our individual, you know, particularly from the physical point of view, our physical capacity, when you reach certain situations where the solution to the problem lies beyond that capacity, then we seek some form of comfort and trust in some higher power.
So religious, various different religious traditions, also I think some potential to help in that level. I think one obvious sort of reason, the source to combat mental disturbances is actually our inner values, such as compassion. With compassion, spirit of forgiveness. So, therefore, the old major religious tradition carried same message of love, compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, and then self-discipline, then contentment, these things. Now, today, among the people, yes, some section of the people still feel the value of religion, or religious faith, still important. And then equally, some portion of the society, human community, no particular interest about religion. So, I think two choices. Either because the importance of love and compassion, these things, so we should insist, must accept religion, or I'm totally relying on religion, or with no special interest about religion, and also no interest about compassion or forgiveness, these things. I think that's the two choice, I think, mistake. Re. Da? Yana? Chamba de niji sa di di, guwi ba niji sa ni, chechola, taji lu iji sa. Yana chechola iji meba de chebji, chamba de niji di di, tama meba sa. That is what we need.
So sometimes there is a tendency to look at this question of the role of religion in very extreme terms. For example, people seem the choice is basically the following two. Because we recognize the importance of the value of compassion, forgiveness, love, tolerance, and so on, therefore, you know, we must embrace religion as the foundation for that. That is one extreme. The other extreme is to say that because...
Extreme sort of one side.
One stand. The other stand is because, you know, I have no interest in religion myself, therefore I should not pay serious attention to the values such as love, compassion, forgiveness, and self-discipline, tolerance, and so on. And these people seem to think these are the two options.
Now, some people, I think mainly, I think, religious believer. They believe moral ethics must be based on some form of religious faith. I think that bit too narrow. I feel, and also some people share with me, same view, that there must be third way without religious belief. But through awareness, promote human values, human value, or promote the compassion, forgiveness, these things. So that actually the truth of the secular, these are secular ethics. Now secularism, some of my Muslim friends interpret secularism means rejection of religion. But according Indian, as they thought, in fact, India's constitution, I think based on secularism. So secular ethics, seculars. So that does not mean rejection of religion, but respect all religions and also respect non-believer. So therefore, secular, not necessarily some meaning of rejection of religion, not that, but secular without religious
without religious faith involved.
Without religious involvement. So now here, the secular ethics, without talking about religious faith, simply through education, through awareness, they're trying to develop conviction, importance of love, compassion, these things. So that, actually, you see, my main sort of effort or my main interest, wherever I go, I always share with people, we are human beings. As I mentioned before, we want happy life. We want successful life. Success or happiness much depend on our mental attitude. Although materially may be very successful, with a lot of money, a lot of fame, a lot of facility, a lot of friends. Now here question, friend, genuine friend or friend of money or friend of power, that also you see, have to judge. Sometimes someone so long remain with power, more friend. When no longer power, less friend. Isn't it? And also someone whose fortune goes like that, a lot of smiling faces come. And the fortune go like that, then even you want to telephone, no answer. That kind of say, things will happen. These are not genuine human friend, but friend of power or friend of money like that. So these friends are artificial friend. I think in genuine human level, these are artificial friend. So not reliable friend. So even you see there, some artificial sort of friends there, but these are, at the same time, such person, as an individual human being, very, very unhappy person. We can see that. So therefore, now, internal sort of certain way of thinking is, I think, very, very crucial. Now here, through awareness means through analyze, what kind of emotions bring us more inner peace? What emotions disturb our peace of mind? I think like external things, we usually, I mean, this, for this body, we need food and clothes, shelter. Now, we investigate what material is good for karoda, for body, right? Particularly like my skin. This is always irritating. So some people advise me certain material of cloth is bad for irritation. Certain material is better. I don't know so much, but it is say like that. And also, is for certain physical sort of condition, certain food is suitable for certain sort of condition. Another food is more suitable. So we usually use to make choice. This is suit for me. This is not suit for me. So now, since our inner element, also major factor, our happiness or unhappiness or worry or fear or dissatisfaction or frustrations, therefore, it is equally important and worthwhile to analyze the nature of different emotions, such as anger, hatred, jealousy. With these emotions, happy, calm mind, very difficult. And some other sort of emotion, strong sense of concern of other, although at that moment you may get little disturbances, but there's big differences. Disturbances out of one's own suffering or out of sense of concern of other's suffering. Big differences. There's certain disturbances out of concern of other's suffering that firstly come voluntarily. You have the choice whether you should take serious concern of others or not. You have the choice, right? But you voluntarily take the sense of concern about others' suffering. So there is the element of volunteer. So volunteer come self-confidence. So the self-confidence is opposition force of fear. Clear. Usually frustrations, angers come often from fear. So reduced fear, more confidence bring us more will. Honest will, right? Not clever will, not negative will, but I think positive will. Out of fear also sometimes a certain kind of will come, but shaky will. The genuine will, I think based on honesty, right? And self-confidence, these are, I think, source of our inner strength. So therefore, the compassion bring us inner strength. Inner strength reduce fear, sense of insecurity. And that also in body level, more anxiety, more stress, more frustrations, very bad for our basic element of the body. More natural, sort of balanced, sort of kazda, body element. Your mind, calm, peace, these elements go smoothly. More worry, more fear, more anxiety, more stress away. Stress then disturb our body element. Even some scientists, you see, told us they like strong anger or hatred actually eating our immune system. Then some emotions such as compassion actually strengthen our immune system. So, among the different emotions, some are very destructive,
Some are positive. So, therefore, as external thing, we choose some good things, take some harmful things, get rid of. Similarly, our inner emotions, some positive, some emotions are something useful, so take and try to increase. And some of the emotions are very bad for not only peace of mind, but also health. So therefore, you see, recognize these things, then try to reduce. So now, that is the now, Kasore. Without human intelligence, we cannot do that. Now, with by birth, we have this intelligence. So I think it's really worthwhile to further investigation among the minds or thoughts or emotions. What thoughts or emotions are helpful? What thoughts or emotions are harmful? Number one. I think the latest scientific findings also very helpful to know more clearly about these, say, function of different emotions and also effects on our body, particularly our brain, due to these different emotions. I think further sort of investigation or research work still going on. So then, next question, whether we can develop these positive emotions such as compassion, affection. Compassion I think, since you see here more people, so maybe I think useful. Compassion or a sense of concern, there are, I think, many levels, or many
degrees of intensity and strength.
And also, like any other, like any emotion, not independent or absolute. Like brain itself, emotions also, I think, variety of emotion, and some interlink also there. So due to different sort of factors, so there are sense of concern, also there are variety. So, the compassion, I think sense of concern. And there are also element of sense of closeness. Sometimes, I think, sense of concern, but you feel more superior the other who passing through difficulties more.
Inferior,
and look like this, and some kind of feeling of pitiness. That not compassion, not genuine compassion. Compassion is, I think, this element, respect. Others right. Respect other. Recognize other also just like myself. And then also closeness feeling. One closeness feeling entirely depend on others' attitude. So that closeness feeling also kind of compassion, but much mixed with attachment. And also, I think, much based on others' action, not the being. So long the others' attitude, positive attitude remain there, closeness feeling, sense of concern there, as soon as their attitude change, or even slight different attitude come, immediately you should change your attitude. So these are firstly limited and I think based on artificial and also biased. So genuine compassion is firstly not based on others' attitude, but being. Recognize they also, like me, want happiness, do not want suffering. And on that recognition, develop sense of concern of others, you see, because of the, what's it, the welfare. So that mainly depend on, based on recognition others as a sentient being, right? Not their behavior. So now on that level, no differences the other's attitude towards you, some towards you as a friend, positive. Some people, so-called enemy, their attitude towards you is negative. But beside their action, the being itself is concerned, now same human being. So now there is capacity of compassion reach your enemy as a human being, as human brothers, sisters. That compassion, that sense of concern is unbiased. That will not come spontaneously, but through training, with help of human intelligence, human awareness, now that can develop. That's reliable based on Chama.
Based on valid forms of understanding.
So through using more reasons, more conviction, that sort of compassion will increase. So that kind of emotion, through training, more reliable, more stable. Then the possibility of development of such thing. Firstly, I think seed of compassion, that is the unbiased compassion, actually, Kasoda, develop on the basis of biased compassion, right? That biased, limited compassion, I think from birth, we develop that. I think human body itself really need human affection. I often feel, and also telling people, we human being, fortunately, our way of beginning of life, with mother's milk.
As human beings, when we are newly born, we remain as infant for a very long time, very vulnerable.
So because of that sort of nature, the mother's care is indispensable, Sarve. Indispensable. After birth, without mother's care, then within a mother or someone else who acting like a mother, without that care, within a few days will die. And without, generally speaking, without mother's milk, your physical well-being, the proper development of your brain, and also the physical touch with mother, without that, you have the proper enlargement, enlarging your brain, suffer. So that's the danger. Some animals, like turtle, and also butterfly or moth, some insect, you see, the mother just lay down the egg, then disappear, some soon die. Like salmon fish, also like that. Lay down the egg, then die. Then hatch. After hatch, the children, small fish themselves, have to take care themselves. So in such case, I don't think nature create affection. So, if some scientist here, then I think really worthwhile, the turtle's mother and the turtle's offspring later put together, judge whether both sides have the capacity to show affection. I don't think. Nature creates such. No need for affection. Why? No need dependency. So therefore, emotionally, no need any element which bring together. Our case, and also mammals like cats or dogs or many birds, their offspring's sort of survival entirely depend on mother's care. So in that case, in order to survive, whether God created or by nature created, now the element in the emotional level, element to bring together, that's affection. As soon as child born, the child, no idea who is that person. Even no idea as a mother, but biologically, entirely relying on that person. So long that person take, the child feel happy, sleep, separate, unhappy. Then also, mother side also, in spite some disturbances, some difficulties, the full, because of the determination to take full care about the child. So, human nature, affection, come. For survival. It is very clear. The child, those child, I think, including myself, I think my mother, very, very compassionate, very affectionate, not only her own children, but also the other children or other people who really passing through sufferings. She always crying when she saw these things. And whatever she possess, always is give. So very kind. But my father not like that. Quite often sort of, kasore, temper. I also get some beating from him. But my mother is very, very kind. So I strongly feel today's certain amount of my compassion happen or develop because of the first few days experience under mother's full care. Mother sort of provide me full compassion. I think that really has a seed of my today's, I think, lifelong sort of warm-heartedness. I think, you see here, I think a few thousand people here, I think those individuals who really having happy memory or happy sort of experience at the time of the early age, I think those people are more happier, more potential of compassion. Those children, those people who, anyway, who suffer at that sort of that period, I think less sort of warm-heartedness feeling. It's possible. So therefore, we all born or come from mother. Anyone who come from flower or who come from sky, I don't think. We all come from mother and all tasted mother's sweet milk. I think that is the real beginning of compassion, affection, and happy life. So it is really worthwhile. That experience should keep till our death. our life will be more happier, more calm. And our basic mental state, more calm, more happier, then our daily mood become more positive. So there's a more positive mood, even distress or disturbances or some tragedy or some bad news come. Because you're like immune system, your basic sort of mental attitude, good mood, calm, therefore, with inner strength, so these negative news or negative event, of course, bring some unhappiness, some sadness, some shock, some surprise, but deep down, your mind still calm, or good mood, so therefore, less disturbance. Sometimes I make it like ocean, wave, sometimes stronger, sometimes less. Wave come, go, come and go. But underneath ocean always remain calm. Something like, if our mood more calm, then these disturbances of course come and go, comes and go, without much serious sort of stresses.
Serious damage
per imprint.
Okay. Without leaving serious traces behind.
But on the other hand, person who always in deep insight sort of too much stress or insecure, and mood not good. For example, previous day, anyone who have good fight with your partner, or even you see children, good fight with your parent, the next day, your mood not very good, isn't it? Still something in deep inside, some uncomfortable. So during that moment, even slight sort of disturbance come, immediately burst. So therefore, the calm mind, the good mood is very, very important. I think when strong anger comes or develop, then during that moment, they try to opposite force. It's difficult. But the wise way is basic mind should be more calm. Should be more because of the good mood. Then anger, hatred about to come, easier to challenge. So that's the way. So you see, analyze, you see, these things, think of these things more seriously, then it is quite clear some of these sort of emotions, such as compassion, forgiveness, these things are very positive, very useful for both mental peace, physical well-being. Then there is real possibility. I mean, these things much depend on our view. So different views, views can change or different views can develop due to using human intelligence or awareness. I think every event, there's different aspects. So same event, looking from this aspect, from this viewpoint, you see something different picture. And look from another angle, different picture. Because it is, relative. So there is way change our perception using different reasons. Right? So therefore, responsibility to change our attitude. And then most important, by birth, biologically, we have the seed of the compassion. So, that's the corrective. Source of happiness. So, compassion or warm-heartedness is the actually ultimately source of happiness, source of happy life. That's about my talk. What do you think? Do you think some sense? Now some questions. Okay. Now some questions. Some questions, yes.
As a mother of two children, how can I teach them to be good human beings in this world when they are surrounded by senseless acts of violence such as what we recently witnessed at Virginia Tech University?
I think generally, as I mentioned earlier, I think it utilizes these sort of reasons. And then most important, at the mother's side, I think should provide maximum affection to your children. That's most important, as my own story. Then detail, the same question, I think Houston or San Francisco, I think same questions. So then I responded, I have no actual experience to take care of children. So if I take care of children, maybe a few hours, very nice. Then after a few hours, I don't know. I'm not very sure. I think parents have some kind of, I think, special patience. I think by nature, so like that. So that, I think we monk lack of that experience, like that. So next question.
What is your typical daily routine? Do you have any hobbies?
Daily survey. Routine? No special. Of course, as a practitioner, like late Thomas Merton, Thomas case 2:30 morning, my case 3:30. Then some meditation, some prayer, meditation mainly analytical meditation. Then of course breakfast. As a Buddhist monk, no dinner. So after lunch, you see, no solid food. But my case, sometimes if I feel hungry and a lot of sort of work or a lot of busy day, then sometimes with salutation to Buddha, few biscuits or some cakes. I think Buddha, very, very kind. So I think he, certainly, I'm quite sure, you see, he gives me permission to eat some of these biscuits. So otherwise, you see, like Thailand or Sri Lanka, in this area, the monk, you see, the food habit, very strict. Afternoon, no solid food. So like that. So therefore, next morning, I always feel hungry. So breakfast is very, very precious, very, very blessing.
Very important.
Very important. So, you know, my younger brother, so I teach him, he almost never saw sunrise because, you see, he sleep till late. Right? Mm? So then he responds to me, the main reason I got up in early morning is not prayer or meditation, but for breakfast. I think somebody said it is true. It is true. So like that. Then they go like that. Of course, I think one, as a practitioner, as soon as got up and think, I should utilize this day more meaningful. And I myself also should have more happy days, happier days. Right? Like that. That actually is something like preparation of the different sort of consequences of the day. From early morning, from the beginning of the day, some kind of caution or some kind of preparation and determination. That, some help. So rest of the day, usually the sort of strong determination in early morning in order to shape my mind makes some impact. Otherwise, nothing special. Like that. Or then? I think meditation takes 4 hours. Then some work. If not much work, then reading, study. Mainly, nowadays mainly a Tibetan script, which I learned in the past. So refresh. And also contemplation, very useful. Then of course I listen BBC always. Very important. Then some read some newspaper, some magazines. Then most cases afternoon meeting people, different people. Sometimes meeting very useful, sometimes meeting waste of time. Like that. Go like that. So then, Tibetan usually is a non-vegetarian, except it's a few individuals. After I came to India, I think 65, I try become vegetarian. So then next almost 2 years, I remain strict vegetarians. Then some physical problems started. Then I return the original, what is it, the diet. But then, meantime, we promote in India vegetarianism. Most bigger monastic institutions, the number of students about 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, like that. All these common kitchen now strictly now vegetarian. So we really making effort promotion of vegetarianism. And I myself also, most of the time, vegetarian. Sometimes once a week, or sometimes once 2 weeks, little non-vegetarian things, like that. So, and then sleep around 8, like that. So usually, sound sleep. 8 hours, 9 hours, sometimes 10 hours. So that's best part of my restful rest. busy daytime, and then long hour sleep, very happy. Like that. Yes.
What can we do to help Tibet?
Of course, I appreciate your question or your concern. Yes, since at 2000, beginning of 2000, we renewed direct contact with Chinese government. So we are trying to find a mutually agreeable solution. That means we are not seeking independence. Irrespective of the past history, according to this reality, Tibet as a landlocked country and a materially backward and small population and modern education, trainings, we are very much lacking. Every Tibetan want modernized Tibet. Therefore, as far as material development is concerned, we get greater benefit remain within the People's Republic of China. At the same time, we also have very unique cultural heritage and rich Buddhist tradition and beautiful, delicate environment. So therefore, we need special arrangement regarding preservation of Tibetan culture, Tibetan spirituality, and Tibetan delicate, or say, environment. So present arrangement, so-called autonomy, is actually autonomy only on paper. In reality, all the decision makers, all people in the decision makers are people who have no idea about Tibetan culture, Tibetan spirituality, and the delicate situation of Tibetan environment. So therefore, the present situation is actually no guarantee for preservation of Tibetan culture, Tibetan spirituality. So already, the purer form of Tibetan culture, Tibetan spirituality, exists only outside Tibet, not inside Tibet. The problem, those Chinese sort of officials, their main concern is, Tibet must remain within the People's Republic of China, should not separate. So they are always, every field, they always looking from the angle of the political side, not culture or the environment or these things. So therefore, a few years ago, one party secretary in the autonomous region of Tibet, I think his name, Teng Gyen, he actually expressed in party meeting that the source of threat, Tibetan separation, is Tibetan Buddhism. So, accordingly, they put a lot of restrictions, and monk in the monastery need political education. Here, political education sounds okay, but the reality, political education means criticism of Dalai Lama, absolute loyalty to communist. So these are rather difficult, isn't it? So, and those monks, nuns, who not criticize Dalai Lama, expelled from the monastery or nunnery. So there are a lot of difficulties, a lot of contradictions. As a result, I think I often meeting with a Tibetan who come from Tibet with great risk of their own future, including some old retired officials, some old party member. For example, one occasion I met one Tibetan who introduced me as a party secretary in district level. Last 40 years as a party member. Then I joked to him, "Oh, since you are old communist, you should not have Buddhist faith." I just teased him. Then he told me, he answered to me with great sort of karda, moving way.
With being moved.
He told me, more than 40 years as a communist, no single day some kind of doubt towards Buddha. And of course, if I say it's not nice, but he also told me, last 40 years, he never developed some kind of doubt towards you. That means I'm Dalai Lama. So even those old Communist Party members, some cases, ideologically, they are genuine communists. But as far as Tibetan spirit is concerned, very, very strong. So more than 95% of Tibetan people are just like that. So that's the problem. So I always was telling our Chinese leaders, the Chinese leaders, their policy should be realistic. Accept the reality, then accordingly deal with that, realistically. So I feel the best way to deal with the problem is my approach, middle way approach. Not independence, but special sort of dark order. Also the genuine autonomy, which Chinese constitution provided us. And in early 50s, Chairman Mao Zedong and Liu Shaoqi and Zhu Te, during those period, the Chinese government sort of recognized the Tibet case is some special case. So therefore, 1950, Chinese Liberation Army already reached certain eastern part of Tibet, up to Chamdo. Then very easy to send army up to Lhasa. Very easy. But the Chinese government prefer army must stop there. Then they prefer peaceful liberation through agreement. So 1951, 17-point agreement signed. Although the circumstances under sort of duress, but central government prefer Tibet is concerned, liberation should be through negotiation, through agreement, rather than just a standing army. Then as late as 1956, Zhou Enlai and Ho Long came to India, while I also in India, Buddha Jayanti celebration. Then Zhou Enlai told Pandit Nehru, the Chinese central government do not consider Tibet as a ordinary Chinese provinces. Tibet case is some special case. So in early period, the leadership, wise leadership, experienced leadership, really recognize Tibet case is something very special case. So we simply trying to talk with Chinese government, please look situation as Deng Xiaoping once stated, seeking truth from fact. That slogan is really scientific, really wonderful. But for that, the fact must be fact, genuine fact, not artificial fact. So our friends here, and also I think some Chinese brothers, sisters also, I think here. So finally, the problem Tibetan problem have to find solution between Chinese brothers, sisters and Tibetan. No one else. Meantime, of course, our sympathizers, supporters, our brothers, sisters outside the world or Western world, including United States, also, you see, I think very, very helpful to materialize meaningful understanding, meaningful solution. But final sort of understanding or solution must find between Chinese and Tibetan. So therefore, some, I think, young Chinese student or some Chinese teachers here, please I'm assuring to you, we are not seeking separation, we are not seeking independence, because of our own interest. But meantime, please give us meaningful autonomy, so that the People's Republic of China's great unity, stability, and harmony, which President Wu Jintao stressing, harmony, then can materialize. So actually my approach is helping to the central government to materialize stability and unity and prosperity. And through that way, genuine harmony. So, I'm happy having this opportunity.